Alright, so if you could pick one thing that has to go on everything you eat.
Chocolate.
Animal crackers.
Peanut butter.
I'm going to give you
bacon.
Choices.
Onions.
Animal crackers.
Salt, powdered sugar, ketchup, chocolate syrup, or other, if you can say
salt.
That.
Okay, so I'll pick other.
What would you put on everything you eat?
Ketchup.
Chocolate syrup.
Why?
Why salt?
Monosodium glutamate.
The flavor stings, but it's not too much if you don't put a lot.
Fair enough.
And it goes pretty much with everything.
It's not too much if you don't put a lot.
It's not too much if you don't put a lot.
Yeah.
That is so brilliant. So
profound.
It's just, anybody else have something they want to put on everything?
Other. Yeah.
Other.
I'll go with other.
You want to go with
other? Is delicious.
Just
have
leaving it at that?
Ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing. Anybody want on that one?
Chick-fil-A sauce.
Okay, here's the thing. The reason it's kind of hard for me to pick something is because it's hard to find one thing that goes good with everything. But I have to say that there is one thing that comes pretty close, and it's this. Soy sauce?
Soy sauce!
It goes so good with, like, almost everything.
What does it not go
good
with? It may not go good with ice cream, or will it?
Toast.
Listen, here's the thing. You know that it goes, soy sauce goes well with, like, stir-fry dishes and stuff like that, but did you know it's also used for marinades for chicken, shrimp, fish, dipping sauces? It can actually help create a butterscotch flavor in ice cream. Or bring out the sweetness in a blueberry muffin. It adds richness to ribs or pot roast. It's a glaze for salmon, eggplant, pork, or tofu. You can use it instead of salt in soups, stews, casseroles, and chili. You can add it to gravy. You can put it on pineapple wedges or other shish kebab stuff. You can use it for roasted cashews and peanuts. Soy complements the yeasty flavor of pizza dough when you brush it on the crust. Or you can use it for marmalades, for chicken roast. You can even put it in hamburger patties or brownies to give it an intense...
I'll pass on that one.
Rich chocolatey flavor.
I don't like brownies.
You can put that stuff on just about anything. Now, the one thing, my favorite usage for soy sauce, though, is just straight up on a bowl of white rice. Because if you think about it, it's like, is there any food more bland than plain old white rice? And then you put a little soy sauce on it. And then boom, it transforms into something amazing. That's what it does. So here's what soy sauce reminds me a little bit of Jesus. Because if you think about all the little, tiny, boring, bland things in your life that have to happen, that are just a part of everyday, normal life, you add Jesus, and kabam! It's awesome!
I scared Jesse.
Andy has 2 cups of coffee, so...
I'm on that.
He's like, I'm doing great.
That's good. I don't get my eyes to stop.
But any boring part of everyday life with Jesus in mind, or Jesus at the heart of it, or in your focus, it completely transforms everything. And I'm excited because today we get to finally talk a little bit about how Jesus does bring some satisfaction. Because it seems like we've been going on and on about how nothing does. And just to remind you where we've been, remember chapter 1 verse 2 said everything is meaningless. Everything under the sun can't satisfy. And 1:9 says, what has been will be again. And the main idea of that was that progress can't satisfy, because everything just keeps cycling over and over again. 1:18, the more knowledge, the more grief. And we said that wisdom can't satisfy. Piling up human wisdom and knowledge doesn't do it. What does pleasure accomplish? Pleasure can't satisfy. All I achieved was meaningless. All the possessions I gained, possessions can't satisfy. The wise man too must die. So wisdom helps, but it can't save you. Work is pain and grief and meaningless. And work can't satisfy. And that's what we talked about last week. And you know that if you, your job, if you're defined by your job and what you do for work, and then the Lord says it's time for you to let go of this job, it's time for you to move on. If you're identified by that job, then you don't know who you are anymore, and you're a wreck because you're putting too much trust and identity in a job. Now, most of you, your work is schoolwork. So if you're identified and defined by the grades you make, and when the Lord or someone says, you're not going to get that GPA you think, you're not going to get that grade you think, and we hold on to it like a bulldog on a bone, I'm not going to let go. You're defined by those grades. That's not a good spot to be. Don't put that much trust and hope. You're identified by being belonging to Jesus Christ, and that's it. Your work, schoolwork, if you're identified and looking for meaning and satisfaction, it's just pain and grief. Work cannot satisfy you. And then we get to talk about today that without Him, meaning without God, who can eat or find enjoyment in anything? No one can. So the idea here is that only Jesus satisfies. And we get to talk about that today. So I'm excited. I get to talk about some Jesus. So I want you, go ahead and close your eyes. I want you to think about what is, if your day, if your daily schedule, your weekly schedule is a bowl of rice. I want you to think of what is the one thing that you have to do in a week that is the most bland, the most unpleasant thing that you have to do that's a part of a normal week for you. I want you to think about what is that one thing that's so bland, so boring, so unpleasant. And I want you to already start thinking and praying through, Jesus, how can you make that different? How can you bring some flavor and difference and meaning to that thing that is so meaningless? Lord Jesus, I pray that right now you would open our hearts to hear from you. Pray that you would help us to, man, it's just weird to be sitting here in a room with a bunch of people that we can touch and feel and then have to believe that someone we can't see is really here. And we know you are, Jesus. We believe that you're here, and we believe that you died for us and that you love us and you live inside of us. And we confess that together, that we know you are real, and we know you are true, and we know you're here, and we want to live for you, and we want to hear from you, and we want to be changed by you. Holy Spirit, will you speak through the Bible, and will you change our hearts and let us hear what you want us to hear? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. And if you don't have Bibles, they're in the corners or up here. Pass them around. Pass those highlighters around. And find Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. I'm going to read the whole passage of three verses first, and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit and see what kind of grabs your attention. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This, too, is meaningless and chasing after the wind. So we're going to break this down little by little, but just when you just hear those verses at first listen, at first glance, what do you think God might be trying to say to us? Anybody got any guesses? And we'll go through it all, but... What kind of jumps out at you that God might be saying to us?
Chapter 3, right?
Nope.
Two.
In the chapter 2.
Chapter 2 is.
Apart from him, you can't find enjoyment.
Apart from him, you can't find enjoyment. That's right.
If we please him, he will give us wisdom.
If we please him, he'll give us wisdom. Yeah.
In the beginning, he says, man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work.
Yeah.
My version says, to find enjoyment in his toil.
In his toil.
So even though it's not always pleasant,
yeah,
God can make it soy sauce, rice.
I just love it how you guys can translate everything into food.
Yeah. Mm, that comment was like butter.
Like shrimp.
Like shrimp. All right, I'm grabbing this train back. Verse 24. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. So he looks at everything, and he's already looked at some big things that we could possibly turn to for satisfaction. He looked at big concepts like wisdom, possessions, work, pleasure, these big ideas, and he looked for at all of them for satisfaction, and he says, look, I've discovered something. A man can do nothing better. What does he mean when he uses the word better? What's he using to evaluate it by? What's he saying when he's looking for something better in terms of what?
Earthly things.
Huh?
Earthly thing.
But for him, what defines better?
Huh? In bringing him joy.
In bringing him joy, or satisfaction, or lasting happiness, or however you want to say it. That's right. That's what he's looking for. And he says, there's nothing that's better at doing that. There's nothing that's better at bringing satisfaction than... And it's interesting, like, he's already looked at these big concepts. So I'm thinking this would be... Is this some sort of... Are these big monumental tasks that he's talking about here? What does he say? Is it something big? Not really. What is it that brings satisfaction? There's nothing better than what?
Eating and drinking and telling himself that his labor is good.
Eating, drinking, finding satisfaction in work? These are simple, normal, everyday things. There's nothing better than just to eat, just to drink. Work, find satisfaction in that. It's bizarre. Simple, everyday stuff. And he says, did I read that right? Did he really say you can find satisfaction in work? Because haven't we been saying this whole time? There's no satisfaction in anything under the sun. But maybe there's a kind of satisfaction. What is the kind of satisfaction that you get from work? Okay, temporary. But, okay, tell me about the positive aspects of good things we get out of work. What do we get out of work?
Get stuff
money.
Done.
Money. You get stuff done? Money. You get money?
Self-respect.
You get self-respect?
Good-looking lawn.
Good-looking lawn? But, no, that's actually, like, when you work, depending on what your job is, you get to do something eventually after lots of obstacles and... frustration of your timeline, eventually you finish, and then you get to sit back and look, and you have the sense of a job well done, a sense of accomplishment. Like, there is some satisfaction in that. But again, it's not ultimate satisfaction, it's temporary if it's coming directly from the work. But where does this satisfaction really come from? He's saying find satisfaction in the work, but is the work the source of that satisfaction? And Solomon now is going to raise our gaze a little bit. He's going to lift our eyes up from stuff under the sun. And look at that phrase, find satisfaction. In verse 24 it says, find satisfaction. What does that mean? Well, look, find satisfaction, I don't know if you knew this, but the Old Testament was not written in English. here's what it literally says in Hebrew, and it said, and it goes, it goes right to left. So it says something along the lines of Baha Ra'a, and that means either seek or see. And et, that's just a direct object marker. This says something like nefesh, which is your soul, and tov means good. So that's where you see soul to see good. And so when your NIV says find satisfaction, what it's literally saying in the original language is cause his soul to see good. So what is satisfaction really? Satisfaction is really about your soul seeing something or your soul focusing on something. So in work, you're not really looking at work. You're looking at something else. Your focus, your soul is focused on something other than just the work. That's where the satisfaction comes from, is somewhere else that you're looking, somewhere else that your soul is focusing. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that sometimes there's something right in your face that you focus on when what you need to be focusing on is what's beyond it. And have you ever, like this cat, looked at a window where there's rain and all you're looking at is the rainwater and you're just staring at it forever and you don't even realize there's stuff beyond it? And I imagine that this cat has been staring at this window for about 3 days, just looking at the water and being entranced by it. And I think at this moment, he finally started, his eyes started to focus and shift, and he started to see trees beyond, and he went, "What?" And right there, I think that's what that moment is. He's looking and he sees, whoa, there's trees out there. There's something beyond this boring stuff right here in front of my face. And he changed his focus. And that's for us, when we, if we focus right on work, there's no satisfaction. But if we look with the eyes of our soul, if we focus our soul on something else, there is satisfaction. Or should I say, someone else, there is satisfaction. So, for us, when we're talking about work, who is it that's there beyond the blur of our everyday minutiae, of the everyday little things, the boring, bland rice of our day? Who is it that's beyond that blur that we should be focusing on? And look what he says. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. Notice he says, this too I see. He says, I see. And I want you to picture, remember we talked about Solomon, when he's looking at everything under the sun, he's got one of these blinders that is right here. So all he sees is this. But it's almost like for right here, we see him sort of remove that or pull it up a little bit, and he sees. He sees something new that he hasn't seen. That word God that shows up right there, that's the first time that it showed up since all the way in verse 14 of chapter 1. We've been going a long time talking about all this stuff that just doesn't satisfy. Now he says, you know what? We can find satisfaction if we see something different. And he says, I do see that this too is from the hand of God. So what is it that's from the hand of God? First of all, like eating. He says there's nothing better than to just find enjoyment in eating. When you eat, that's from God. That's a gift from God. When you drink, that's a gift from God. When you work, that's a gift from God. And even the ability to enjoy those things, the ability to enjoy those, the ability to focus our eyes on some, our hearts on something other than right here, the complexity of our hearts and our minds, that we have an ability to focus beyond that, that ability is a gift from God. That comes from the gracious, generous hand of God. He says, this too I see. That ability is from the hand of God. So, it says in verse 25, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Without him, who's he talking about? Mm-hmm. Without him, who's him?
God.
Without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? That's a rhetorical question, and the answer is what?
Us.
No one could possibly find enjoyment. And even something as simple as eat. We can't even eat. Something of the most basic human physical need. We can't even do that without God. Much less find enjoyment. Enjoyment, happiness in life on planet Earth, even in something as simple as eating, that's completely impossible without Him. Think about the ability we have to enjoy eating. God did not have to give us taste buds. Or He could have just given us two different types of taste buds that say, or just one that detects poison. And He could have just given us that kind of taste bud so we would know as long as we taste nothing, we're good to go. Keep shoveling. But He gives us the ability to enjoy simple things like eating. He gives us five senses to interact and drink in the creation around us that declares His glory. We get to enjoy Him through everything that's created. And that is a gift from Him. We can't enjoy that without Him, much less have a deeper spiritual peace and happiness and enjoyment without Him. It's completely impossible. You see those two words, without Him, right there in verse 25. If you have something, highlight that or underline those two words, without Him, because those two words here are crucial for us to understand with it from a New Testament perspective, from people who have Jesus, how we're supposed to look at this book. Because do you remember what the key verse of this whole book is? Do you remember chapter 1, verse 2? Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And if that's it, then that's bad news and that's depressing. But remember, this is his perspective with the blinder on, looking at everything under the sun. But what happens if you read it in context with those two words from that verse right there, and you just add on the end, without him, from verse 225? Everything is meaningless with him. Is there meaning to life on planet Earth? Absolutely. With him. For Solomon, in his context, he was talking about God. Who are we talking about when we say with him? Jesus. There is so much depth and meaning and purpose for our lives, if and only if it's in the context of Jesus living through us and us focusing the eyes of our soul on Him in the midst of all the bland stuff we do. Verse 26 says, to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Okay, so two different kinds of people here. What are the two different kinds of people?
The ones who please God and the sinners.
The ones who please God and the sinners. What do you think is the difference between the two? How do you know the difference between the two?
Wisdom, knowledge, and joy.
Okay. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Yeah. And that's... yeah. They've got it right there. The ones who have those things, that's evidence. Right? But what about God? What's He looking for to determine if this is someone who pleases Him versus a sinner from His... before He gives them those gifts? What is God looking for? What pleases God?
The heart.
Yeah. The heart. What's He looking for in the heart? Y'all know what God is looking for in your hearts that pleases Him?
Faith.
He's looking. Look at this. You're quoting Scripture and didn't know it. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe. Believe and faith are synonyms, right? And if it's impossible to please God without faith, then how do we please God? With faith, right? So the ones who have faith, the ones who have believe in God, believe in Jesus, those are the ones that please Him. And so what does He give to them? He gives them three things. What are they?
Wisdom.
Wisdom and knowledge. And y'all see where I'm looking at verse 26. Y'all see where I am?
enjoyment.
What are the three things he gives those that please him?
Happiness.
Wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. That's right. And you know how he gives those things? He gives for us. You know how he gives us those things? He gives us Jesus. So we have Jesus who is true wisdom. He is true knowledge. And he is true happiness. And that's what he gives us who have faith. But is the next word in the verse. And that word means there's a what?
Contrast.
So if those are good things coming to those who please him, those who don't please him are going to get something not as good. So, but the sinner... Okay, now this is interesting. Do you still sin?
Yes.
Do you please God?
No.
Yeah, you do. You're a new creation. You have faith. You please God. We grieve him with our actions and our unbelief at times. But what's the difference between our sin and this person who's a sinner? Any thoughts?
He doesn't know God, and he refuses to believe.
Yeah, absolutely, Peyton. Yeah, there's a difference. Whenever there's a lot of times in Scripture, whenever it talks about the sinner, that it's using it as sort of their identity. For you and I, we still sin, but our identity is wrapped up in Jesus. We are followers of Jesus who still sin. The people that reject Jesus are sinners by identity. That's their main identity. They're people who have rejected God and are sinners and continue in that sin. So that's why he says, but the sinner, to the sinner he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to put it in a trust fund that his kids can have after him. No, it says to hand over to the one who pleases God. Now that's just mean of God, isn't it? To take it, they're stored up all that stuff and then give it. This too is meaningless and chasing after the wind. So, look, for the unbeliever, to the sinner, if he's only looking for happiness and stuff that he can store up here on planet Earth, it's inconsistent on whether or not he gets to keep that stuff or not. A lot of times the Lord is going to give that. But now, I want you to be careful and don't make this say what it doesn't say. And don't push it too far. Because does it say to him, to the one who pleases God, he's going to give them all the money of the bad guys? It doesn't say that. The one thing he promises, the three things he promises is what?
Wisdom, knowledge, and joy.
Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Which is Jesus, is it not? Yeah. So he's going to give us, he promises us Jesus. He doesn't promise us wealth. He promises us trials. Says don't be surprised if crazy stuff happens to you. So don't take this verse to mean if you become a believer, he's going to snag away the bank accounts from an unbeliever and give it to you. That's not what it's saying. It's just saying simply, if you look for your happiness in Jesus, you will find it because you will find Jesus. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. If you seek for him with all your heart, you will find him. Knock on the door and he will open it. And seek and you will find, etc. There's lots of verses that say that. If you look for it, if you look for happiness under the sun, there's no guarantees. You might be able to store up some stuff for a while, or you might not. You just can't count on it. You can't trust it. If you're pursuing Jesus and he's your treasure, you can count on that. So, is there enjoyment or satisfaction under the sun in the trivial things of life? What do you think?
Satisfaction?
Can we get to satisfaction in the trivial, mundane things of this life?
Through Jesus.
Through Jesus, right? Without him, it's meaningless. With Jesus, you better believe it. Through everything. No matter how bland the rice, put that soy sauce on there and, son. And no matter what you're talking about in life, if you're... soul is focused on Jesus in the midst of that task or mundane thing, menial minutia. If your soul is focused on Jesus, in the midst of that, there is joy and satisfaction that's unending for us. So don't turn to those big things to try to find satisfaction, like pleasure or money or possessions or wisdom, and to think, Jesus is at the bottom of these things. I've got to look in these things. No. Turn to Jesus and you can find Him in the little things, like eating, drinking, working, mowing the lawn, vacuuming your bedroom, folding laundry, doing math homework. You can find Jesus there. Don't be unbelieving. You can find Jesus there. How can we do this? I am gonna skip this thing. No, I'm gonna do this thing.
Do it.
Oh, I need a volunteer. I need two volunteers. I need you to draw a line to connect these sentences to complete the sentence. And I want you to start from the bottom and Trey, you start from the top and draw arrows down to make them complete the sentences. I'm just helping y'all fit this stuff into real everyday life. This is white rice kind of stuff, and I want y'all to see where
it's going.
Would you like to sit over there and mark for me?
You're standing in front of the bottom one.
Yeah.
Scooch. Well, I guess.
But how do I write? I believe in you.
So
can't stop thinking about.
You're still blocking it. Trey,
serving
my head.
Oh. Just kidding. You know what? I'll just stand right here.
There you go.
I can't really see.
You can't stop thinking about.
Does anyone know what the first one should go to?
Serving like Jesus.
Serving like Jesus.
Okay.
Anybody know where the second one goes to?
Top one.
Boom. Okay. You go for the bottom. Me.
Oh, okay.
Well, all right. What about the third one?
Submitting like Jesus.
Y'all see that?
Oh, it's just a record.
All right, what about that bottom one? Y'all know what the bottom one is?
You can't stop thinking about something.
Yeah, do you see that, me? They just gave me the bottom one.
Second one up.
Ask Jesus for help. Yeah, there you go.
That's what you should have done.
The second one from the bottom.
Laugh with your friends, think about it.
Okay.
When you eat, that one?
Boom. Yeah.
Is this supposed to make a cross in the middle?
No. I did not count on
the squiggly lines.
A house shape?
Yeah.
It's supposed to make a figure eight. I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't make a mistake. Think about how.
Come on, you're winning.
Oh, that's far.
Can you make a mistake?
Last one. Who's going to do it first?
Well, you can't stop thinking about.
There's only one option.
We already did that one.
Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. That was fun.
Yay.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Y'all can sit down.
Yay.
Good job.
Weak round of applause. A weak round of applause.
I just wanted y'all to wrap your brains around a little bit how Jesus can influence your thinking and the focus of your heart on this everyday, normal kind of stuff. And you can be thinking about Jesus, and you can focus on Him. And let me just boil it down even more simple than that. A way that we can see Jesus in everyday life is just real simple. Pray continually. Like, whenever you're super frustrated at something that you're doing, talk to Jesus in that moment and say, "Will you help me? If you're scrubbing toilets and you're like, Jesus, this is the last thing I want to do," just remember Him washing feet and saying, and knowing that there was probably poo on people's feet because of the plumbing non-plumbing situation back in the day and just say, okay, Jesus, you've been here. Will you give me strength? Will you help me? Or just remember him on the cross and say, I'm sorry for being a baby. Give me strength. Just to talk to him nonstop. When you're having a blast, talk to him. Say, thank you, Jesus. When you're eating a steak, say, thank you, Jesus, for my taste buds. And thank you for cows. Talk to him. Talk to him. He loves you so much, and he wants to hear what's on your heart. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. Just talk to him. And then if we'll do that, if we'll talk to him nonstop, then we might be able to do what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isn't it interesting that this is in the New Testament? It also talks about eat, drink, and do whatever you do. Like Solomon was saying, eat or drink or work, you can do it to the glory of God. If you're doing it with Jesus in mind, then it gives God glory. People see Jesus in you, in your attitude, and then as a side effect, you get to enjoy being like Jesus too, which is awesome, because you get closer to Jesus when you're focused on him in the normal white rice things of everyday life. I think it was like 2008, I bought a 2004 Mitsubishi Galant. I know what you're thinking. You want one. This is pretty incredible. I had never seen one of those cars before in my life. And then after I bought it, it was the most amazing thing. People were buying those cars like crazy because I saw Mitsubishi Galants on the road everywhere after I bought mine. I'm a trendsetter. People started buying theirs because I bought mine first. Do y'all believe that's what happened?
Yes.
Sure.
What really happened?
I don't know.
You just never noticed it.
Right. You just never noticed it before. You'll know once your parents buy a particular car, you'll start seeing that kind of car everywhere around town because they've been there the whole time. You just didn't see it. And it's the same thing with that Galant. They're always around. I just never saw it. And it's the same way with Jesus. He's there everywhere. He's with you when you're doing math homework. He's with you when you're doing your chores. He's with you when you're practicing football. He's with you all the time. It's just a matter of tuning our hearts, readjusting our focus beyond the minutia, beyond the white rice, to see past it and to see Jesus is right there. He's always been there. And to acknowledge his presence and enjoy his presence and enjoy his company and talk to him. Be focused on him so you can enjoy him in everything. He alone can satisfy. Find him, draw close to him, and enjoy him in the everyday little things of normal life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being with us in all the small things and all the big things. Thank you for being close. Thank you for offering eternal satisfaction and joy and peace to us. Will you help us to not just focus on the rain on the glass, to focus on the bland stuff of our daily life. Help us to focus back past and to see you, Jesus, and to talk to you and ask for your help. Spend time with you all day long. We want to be closer to you. We really do. We just need your help. Help us draw near. Help us remember. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to small groups.
Fuckers.